Hey, oh no, it's too late.
Oh, too late.
Too late.
Gary, how are you?
Too late. Well, I'm fine, Rob. How's Nashville?
Nashville is great. I took a nice stroll around Nashville this morning, and it was a lovely day. So.
Where did you go? I've been to Nashville a bunch of times. I love it, and I assume that you're not, you know, located at the Grand Ole Opry, which is what I like. So yeah, where are you guys living?
We're right downtown. So if you're standing in the stadium across the river and you're looking at the city, we're up on the left. We're in a
beautiful
place called City Lights. So it's a beautiful view of the river and the stadium and the city. And so it's city living. We've never been city livers, you know, except for training at Merrill Lynch. So I am a first time city liver, and it's kind of fun because, you know, it's it'll be a lot more fun when the city's really open for business. But
oh yeah,
even with the partial shutdown, it's still fun. So what's on your mind?
I mean, this very workable. What's on my mind? Well, I would say that, which I think I said last week also, but I would say that we have had a lot of fun conversations about the 5-star model.
Okay, good.
I think we, even as recently as this morning, we, you know, I think we're all understanding that we have certainly some work to do in embracing and fully understanding our role. As I told everyone else, I said, you know, we just got to stay at it. It's hard, and it's because it's hard and everything else. We're going to make it work, but we're fitting everything in, but we're having really good conversations about it. So I guess as far as what's on my mind is just maybe that as an overview for us, for the team. And, I had one question, which maybe, I don't know if that's where you want to start or not,
yeah, sure.
But, it's something I've been wondering Okay. So, you know, under the director of implementation is the 24-month calendar. And so when I went through this, and I've been using now for the last 9 years, I don't use a 24-month calendar. I use a 12-month calendar. And I've been frustrated, but I don't know where I missed it, that you switched to a 24-month calendar. So, because I can understand why it's a lot better. And, you know, why there are topics. So I guess my question is, are there resources that we can look to find topics or things that maybe, you know, maybe if we're lost at a particular time so that clients aren't either bored or clients, you know, we haven't done over it again or it's unnecessary, maybe for the resource on the website or something else that'll help us on that development of the calendar?
Yeah. It's a good topic. My suggestion is that you will, if you do the 24-month calendar, I just coached a team earlier this morning, and they said they were doing the 24-month calendar, and they had one topic for this month and another topic for next month. And I go, that's fine if it's going to be something like the outlook for the new year, right? That's a 1 month topic, January, perfect. But if you're going to use something like liability management or risk management, that's a 2 month topic. And the reason it's a 2 month topic is it's broad and you're going to have follow up. And you and your team, I don't want to make all of you crazy. And you don't want to make yourself crazy. So in reality, Gary, over 2 years, you'll see that I only introduced 8 new topics. They're really fundamental to the financial planning follow through. So my suggestion is you're not going to need a lot of new topics. you're going to use your calendar-driven topics for, you know, like January, outlook for the new year, and then you're going to have calendar-driven topics at the end of the year, like rebalancing or required minimum distributions, tax selling, et cetera. So you're going to have a topic that's pretty important. And you may want to say rebalancing is a July topic, you know, or we do it twice a year, or we do it every 2 years. It's up to you guys, but all I'm saying is put all those topics into a calendar and then tell me what you're missing and what you need for feedback in order to get you, you know, so you feel comfortable. And I'll tell you, you're gonna have lots of topics. And if you ever need one, call me or email me. I'll give you five of them. Okay.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
All right. And then we had somebody joined our call. Is this a special guest?
Let me see who's on here.
No, my name is Andy Reese. I work with Rob, and I'm a coach, and he was raving about you guys and how great you are.
No, that's not true.
It's true. It was true because we – yeah. Poor Andy is, I didn't see him as he wasn't on my top view here, but welcome, Andy. And if you guys don't mind, it's one of those things I always, ask is if you don't want him on here, I will tell him to leave. It's like, kind of like when your doctor walks in and says, I've got this, intern working with me. And if you don't mind, you're going to sit in on our conversation today. So it is completely up to you, Gary, if you want that. But Andy is training.
Thank you.
Yeah, Andy's training to be in the to be a coach. And to be honest with you, the other team that we were coaching at that he happened to be that I selected for him is really struggling. And I said, listen, let's go with a team that seems to have the proper commitment and energy and everything, and you'll see a completely different experience. So that's the reason. So.
All right. Welcome, Andy. Yep.
Okay.
That sounds fine. Thank you, Rob.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for seeing him. I didn't see him on my screen. So other questions, Gary, or any questions from the team?
I really liked what you had to say this last week about, you know, the corporate athlete and just kind of the way you think about your day and, you know, starting by getting enough sleep and just getting exercise and rituals. And it's a good, healthy reminder for all of us to keep that in the forefront of what we're trying to do, and I like what you had to say about it.
That's good, Tim. Thank you. Yeah, it's one of the, you know, there's some core books that if, you know, I know your lives are busy and we never have time to read. I do because of my situation, but as a manager and an FA, you know, I was lucky to get through the reading I had to do. But there are two books that I think can be life-changing books for you. And one of them is The Power of Full Engagement by Jim Lehrer, and the other is Larry Wilson's book, Play to Win. And we'll talk about Play to Win sometime when we have a minute. But this book, The Power of Full Engagement, is very powerful because it helped me to understand energy and focus. and why some people seem to have so much more discipline than other people. And how do you have the energy in the afternoon when you're, when you don't feel like you did in the morning? Because, you know, I always believe that every client that you talk to, that's your moment to show them your best self, right? That we don't pick and choose when we, when we're going to be on, that we need to be doing our best version of ourselves every time we pick up the phone. So how do you do that and do it without, you know, forcing it with another cup of coffee? The answer is the power of full engagement. The idea that in order to have ideal performance state, you need to have ideal recovery state. And in order to have ideal recovery state, you have to treat your body like you would a $40 million thoroughbred horse, right? You give it proper amount, the right nutrition, you feed it right, you feed yourself right, proper amount of sleep, you get 8 hours of sleep. If you can't get eight, you get seven, but you know your goal is eight. And because that's when your body recovers. Your brain recovers, your body recovers, you recover overall. Same, you know, with that thoroughbred. Proper amount of exercise. You got to exercise a horse or they die. We know that. They get old and they will literally die. So you must exercise them. And the same with us. And we don't think of that. We think, well, I don't really need exercise. I'm fine. But it's no shock that we've discovered that exercise prevents heart disease, diabetes, depression. And now they've done studies that say it prevents cancer. And so, hey, that's a lot of reasons to get up out of bed and get those shoes on and get running or get biking or do something to get yourself moving. So, what else when it comes to our daily routine? You want to have breaks about every hour if you can. Take a short break, walk around, drink some water. We're perpetually dehydrated and sleep deprived. Perfect. So, you know, when we think, well, I'm drinking a cup of coffee, well, that's a diuretic. That will actually require more water for you, not less. So force yourself to drink water, get up, walk around, get some exercise, even in between calls. And then, all right, so what is it? What is the proper amount of exercise? If you read the book, you know, everybody says 20 minutes of vigorous exercise, but if you read the book Better Next Year, which is a great book for sending to all your people that are retiring, that's what it focuses in on. It talks about 60 minutes of vigorous exercise. So, we'd love 60. We'll take 20, but we got to get out and we got to get moving and we got to keep the body healthy. It's wonderful for the psychology and the stress that we are going through. I did a Zoom video at the beginning of this when we had crashed and we were down 30%. And the very first thing I talked about was when stress levels go through the roof, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's a market crashing or you're having problems at home, you know, with kids or spouses or whatever, when your stress level goes high, double your exercise. So make your exercise proportional to the amount of stress in your life. So the more the stress, the more exercise. It will keep your brain from freaking out. I remember when I went through the assessment center at Merrill Lynch, it's a really intense, and I've been through a lot of intense training and being a Navy pilot and going through Indoc Battalion and all that. And having survival training. But when I went through the assessment center, which was like 2.5 days of really intense testing where you're under the gun all the time, even at cocktail party, I would run twice a day. And I was having a ball. I was having a great time. And other people were freaking out. My roommate, which we had roommates at the time, thought I was the funniest guy I'd ever met because I would shower like 3 times a day. But I just knew myself. I'm a little bit ADD. I need to have, I can't really drink coffee. So I've got to have my natural body take care of me. So So that's how the ideal recovery state provides you that ideal performance state and sustaining it for a long period of time, for years. So what about this idea of discipline and how do you maintain, why do some people seem like they have so much more discipline than others? And the answer is, they don't have any more discipline than you do. We're all given the same amount of ability to be disciplined. So why do some do it? It's because they create rituals, and then those rituals become things that they don't even have to think about. So you have good rituals and you have bad rituals. We all do. So your good rituals where you get up, wake up, brush your teeth, trying to get a child off to school properly is tough because they don't have the rituals, right? They're not going to brush their teeth unless you tell them and so forth. But we get up and we brush our teeth and we do get dressed and take a shower or whatever, and we don't even think about those things. We just do them. Hopefully you work exercise into that in the morning and it becomes part of your rituals. It takes nothing. Once you get used to 12-4-2, it will take nothing for you to come in, look at a folder, pick it up, and make your calls. Now, your brain will have been free to work on that for as much time as you need ahead of time. You're not even going to know it. You know who you're going to need to call that day. You're going to look at them on Friday. You're going to think about them over the weekend. You're going to come in on Monday and you're going to call them, but you've been thinking about that person all weekend. And so if you needed to do something for them, you're free to think about them. You're not thinking about who am I going to call? What am I going to do on Monday? Anxiety, anxiety. You're organized. If you're prospecting, you know who you're going to call, what you're going to do, and it's organized. Gets rid of the anxiety and helps you to be prepared. So the rituals that you create eliminate the discipline. Therefore, the discipline, you're free to use the discipline to create another ritual. So if you've got your 12-4-2 rituals down with your clients, then you can create some rituals around prospecting. But if you never get the client thing set up, organized, then you're not free to think about prospecting. You do it, but it's chaotic. So the more you have process, the less you need to use your discipline. Questions on that or thoughts?
Well, I will offer a thought, I guess, to start, and just maybe it's more of a testament to exactly what you're talking about, Rob. I'll go back, if I could, real quickly to the book, Power of Full Engagement. I need to reread it, but the one thing I got out of that is one thing I've been able to do, which is to use exercise even more often when I'm feeling stress. And it really has helped in all kinds of, even outside of this. I've been on some boards and in some situations where things weren't going like I had hoped and under a lot of stress, and I ran a lot and I still run a lot, but exercise helps your brain get back into thinking correctly. And, I also, again, kind of as a testament to sometimes at night we're trying to get things done and maybe you're tired. It really does not help to just keep pounding your head against a wall when your brain isn't really working correctly. So getting away from that, like you're talking about, you know, for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, and coming back to it makes a big difference. So right. I've used a lot of those same principles that you have talked with us about. And as far as the 12-4-2, looking ahead at the weeks, that is exactly been my experience, which is I know what's happening. I know who I'm going to talk to. Sometimes I kind of dread it. That's the other part. Not dread it, but I mean, you're more anxious. I shouldn't say dread it. You're more anxious for some. And we've kind of worked through that. And those are some of the people now that we're moving out of my, you know, of Supernova. But that's really what I have found is that organization that allows you to be clear and focus on the other parts of our business. So I guess it's more just telling you now after 9 years that I have felt much of what you're talking about.
It's good. Good to hear, Gary. Terrific. How about anybody else?
And I'm looking forward to implementing Supernova, but I'm, you know, being relatively new to the industry, I don't know anything else.
Right.
Which is fine by me. I mean, I think that the service model that we're implementing sounds and feels right and good for clients, and the type of clients we're going after, the ones we all want from a asset standpoint. They're people we like to work with, and we're kind of leveraging each other's strengths. So I'm excited about it.
That's good, Andy. Thank you. And the fun thing about bringing new people in and just introducing it, whether it be a sales assistant or a new FA, they're just like, yeah, what? I mean, of course. why wouldn't you do this? It only makes sense, right? Calling your people, that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, it seems like Mr. Obvious. You know, people have said to me, well, Rob, Supernova is just best practices. I said, yeah, but you know, it's kind of like Starbucks is just coffee, you know, and Disney World is just an amusement park. No, neither. Neither is true. Disney did it in a special way. And the same with Starbucks did it in a special way. You created a client experience. And what we're doing is creating a holistic client experience for them and for you. So it's better for them, it's better for you, and it's the attention to detail in the process that, like with Starbucks and Disney, the attention to detail and the consistency of the experience and the training of the people, that's what makes their experience better than just a coffee shop or just an amusement park. So that is the idea. So seriously, pay attention to the details. The details, you know, when we say we use an agenda, well, exactly why and how? And then how does that agenda impact me as an FA? How does it impact the client? What's the difference between that and what we used to do? And then the executive summary. Why do we use that? How does it work? Why is that good for them? Why is it good for me? If I leave something out of it, what do I leave out? What do I make sure I include? So these are the details that, you know, we agonize over in teaching, in creating this over the years. And so it's not just, well, I don't know if I feel like doing an agenda. Wait a minute, you don't understand. We didn't used to use an agenda. It became overwhelmingly successful in the eyes of the clients and the FCs to use an agenda. So you seriously, you must use it. And the same with the executive summary. Changes the game in terms of Reg BI, in terms of you summarizing in your head what you want the client to do, what you agreed to do, and by when. Those are the things that you get done with details. And all parts of Supernova have that much focus and attention and have been thought through. to make it better for you. That's why every single page in the folder has been thought through and creates a purpose and is has multiple reasons for being in there, or we'd take it out. And that's why we went from a four-sided folder to a six-sided folder for the client to have in their hands, because we found that there was so much, so many different good ideas in that folder that we couldn't just make it a four-sided folder. It needs to be a six-sided folder. And that's the part of going through twice, Gary, that gives you the advantage of not needing to be convinced that segmentation's a good idea or organization's a good idea. You now have time to think and to see and to learn about every tiny little detail of it. So that's the rituals.
Which does bring on another question about
yes.
that.
Okay.
And here's from an experience to help through that. So regarding the agenda, so it's hard to do an agenda every quarter, every review. It's very hard to do an agenda. So I would be guilty, just exactly as you said, of saying, well, we don't need an agenda this time.
Okay. Right.
So one of the problems that we run into, and maybe other teams run into this, is Andrea, who is our director of brand, she will come to me and she will say, we have this review, that review the next week. We need an agenda. Then she would give me them and they would sit there on my desk because I haven't given her what's supposed to be on the agenda. So then now I have to plan the agenda. Then I have to turn around and do my other stuff, you know, and all, so it would really get bogged down. And so, I'm sure others maybe have had that same. So, it's hard putting it together, and when you do it multiple times, so is there a suggestion as to maybe where I'm not doing something correctly?
All right, so I would like you to consider, you're going to not like this, but I would like you to consider having an agenda for every single call, okay? So all calls are appointments, mm-hmm. all calls are agendas, and all calls have an executive summary. It doesn't mean they need to be long, Gary. If the guy has, you know, the guy's got $1 million rollover and that's it, and he's just taking distributions from it, his agenda can be really simple, right? But you got a $20 million client with a family office group and a dynasty trust and a family foundation and meetings. And this is like a, you know, you've been on boards, right? So this is like a board meeting with an agenda mm-hmm. for the board meeting, and then an executive summary, which would be the minutes that come from it. So it will keep you organized with that client and will make you much more referable. So my suggestion is, is that you take some time every day and plan out your agenda for each of the calls that you have coming up. Takes 10 minutes, takes 5 minutes. To do each call. So if I were going to, first of all, once you put down the agenda, you don't need to change it very much. So the agenda for me on my calls is very similar from the previous calls. It will have new suggestions and items to be followed up on. But instead of holding things in your head regarding that client, I suggest you put them on the agenda. Okay, so getting used to that being
that's a good suggestion.
That's sort of the action, you know, it's kind of old news, old business, new business, and action steps. That's to me kind of what the agenda should look like. So I'll give you an example. I make commitments to universities to give away money, right? They give scholarships. So I have got a, you know, 5-year commitment that I've got to uphold every June. And on there is the amount that I need to give and the total amount that I've given. So that tells me, without me having to do it, what is going on with that contribution. So let's say it's, you know, $100,000 and I got to give it over, you know, $20,000 a year. So I got to give away that 20 grand, and now I know I've got 80,000 to give, right? So we keep that on there just so I know what the heck's going on, because I've got other things I'm doing, right? And I, you know, so it's a bookkeeping way for me to keep track of some things that, and that is so appreciated by the client. I can't tell you. It's great. And it's value added. Okay. So the more you work with higher net worth clients, you know, the more value this brings. And people always say, what do you do with a guy with a bill, you know, with $100 million? You do this. You keep track of his life and you make it easier for him or her to run their life. And you become sort of the family office group for them. Okay. So what I did with Mary Ann Urbancic in my office was I met with her every morning and every afternoon. And instead of her telling me I need an agenda, whatever I needed to do, we did together. If I needed to dictate a letter, I'd dictate it. If I needed to build an agenda, I'd build the agenda with her. Okay. Because I know that I'm a procrastinator. And if I didn't do it right then, it wasn't going to get done. And if I don't put it on the calendar, it's not going to get done. So just know your personality, know who you are, and know if you're good at that, great. You can build your own agendas. Terrific. If not, meet with your accountability coach there and have you go through it and get it done. It's better for you. It's better for them. And once you get used to doing this, you can just crank them out. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay. Andrea, you got that?
Yes, I'll just put you on speed dial on Zoom here, and we'll just keep the iPad going all day.
I mean, you can do it with a phone call, you know. You don't have to do it with a Zoom, but it does mean that it is helpful if you're on Zoom, and you can see each other, and you can, you know, talk and argue back and forth.
So do you try to send those like a week ahead?
Yes, a week ahead.
Okay.
Then Gary's ready, you're ready, they're ready. And I also put at the bottom of them, if you'd like to add something to the agenda, please send it back. Add it and send it back. Or just send me a note and I'll add it to the agenda. And then remember, the best practice is always before you get started on the call is always ask the person, you know, we built an agenda together here, but if there's something else on your mind, I'd love to hear it. Or if you have an agenda, another, you know, do you have something on your mind? Or just what's on your mind is always a great question. Just to make sure.
That's the first thing I ask, you know, when I call, just what you just said.
What's on your mind? It's the number one question on Facebook, and they went away from it and then they went back to it because it's the most powerful question you can ask in coaching. Is what's on your mind? And the second most powerful question is, what else? That way, as a coach, you're not missing, in this case, you know, a big event that's going on in their life and you haven't even bothered. You just go right into your presentation and they're not listening. They've just had a grandbaby. They're all excited. They're got, you know, on the other hand, they've got a, just been diagnosed with something that's, you know, maybe life threatening. And so they're not, you know, you got to know where their head is before you start a teaching opportunity. So a good suggestion. I wasn't always good at that. You know, we all are living our own worlds and I read a book on coaching and they said very first thing, number one question, number two, I just remembered the first two. I don't care about the rest of them.
Right.
Anyway. All right. So who's doing what in the roles and responsibilities?
I will let my team members tell you what they're doing.
Okay.
I'll start. So that's that's my role, and that's what I'll take as the director of.
Okay, great. Implementation?
That's me, Tim.
Okay.
And yeah, that's ties in with my investment background, and then we'll go from there. We have started to, you know, just to use some of your language and process, we've done, I would say, a bit of a gap analysis, so we kind of know where we're at and what we've been doing, and we've been talking as a team as to where we want to be and what sort of investment strategies and models we want to have to make available. And we pretty much know what that looks like. And now it's just a process of what are the steps we need to undertake and what's that process and implementation look like.
That's great. And one of the things, it's just in the investment, it's just think of it as supernovaing the investment process, right? Eliminate the tails, eliminate the guys that are doing, oh, this guy's doing fabulously. Wait a minute. Why? You know, this guy's doing very poor. Why? We want to squish it in there and make sure you're getting consistent client experience. Okay. In terms of brand management.
That'll be me.
Okay. Andrea.
Yep.
Terrific. Marketing, sales, and growth.
That would be me, Rob. I'm taking the last two, okay, which are the director of growth and marketing and then the director of leadership.
Terrific. Okay. Questions on those and roles and responsibilities? Go ahead, Gary.
Well, thank you. I was kind of getting to that question because as we talked about, all of us will be involved in helping the other person formulate, I think, strategies. But to your point, this is the director who's in charge of it by taking information, by using what we give to them, and then formulating a strategy that we can all understand.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the way we talked about it, right? So I just wanted to make sure that I understood that correctly because I'm involved. We're helping Andy in the planning, implementation, and, you know, all the stuff in the brand. I'm involved in all of these, but the one that I'm responsible for and gathering information and charting a course are those where I serve as director. I just wanted to make sure I understood my roles in the other
That's
parts
right.
of our business.
That's right. Anybody can help another person. You can put two people on each role if you want to, but one person is in charge. That's the way it should work. And make sure you know, some of the, like, one of the best practices that we came up with on growth is to create a 24-month calendar on growth. So what are we going to do for the next 24 months to grow the practice? What are our initiatives going to be? Are there things that we can do that are calendar-driven that would drive growth, customer, client experiences, client opportunities to bring friends and so on. You know, in a normal world, that would be easy to understand. In the COVID world, maybe those experiences become Zoom experiences. But just kind of plan out your next 24 months. And then just like with the 24-month service calls where we're education and training the client on products and services, we do that through implementation. Those can change based on circumstances. But everybody goes into every battle with a plan, right? You would never attack or plan on winning a battle without a plan. And they say, you know, in the fog of war, all plans go to hell. Well, yes and no. You know, the one that manages to maintain their plan and but adjust wins the battle. The ones that can't lose the battle. And it isn't always superior numbers. It's better strategy. So what we want is good strategy, thoughtful strategy, good ideas, and adjust as the battle, as the war continues during the year. You know, as we're thinking through the events, we adjust. I mean, clearly we're going to have, this is, you know, once every 4 years we have an election. So having a call, you know, October call be about the election would not be crazy. Just talking about, you know, if one candidate versus the other, how are we going to adjust our portfolio and think about our asset allocation models and so forth. So I think that that would be very thoughtful and timely, but it wasn't probably in the 24-month calendar, which we built last year, right? We forgot that there was going to be an election. So we adjust. So we don't, you know, so you get that. And the same with your marketing calendar. Mm-hmm. But I think by having a marketing calendar, actually having to create one, we go, wow, what does that look like? And what do we put on that? You know, and just the fact that it's raises questions makes us more creative than we would have been otherwise. Questions on roles and responsibilities. You've all hopefully read through the book or read through the workbook, watched the video. Anywhere where you're stuck.
I just, for clarification, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this just based on the fact that we're going to try to lay out what meetings will look like over the next year or two in terms of topics covered. So just to be a completely sure though, so when we do a 12-4-2 and we're either on a 4 or 2 and we're talking more performance related focus for the meeting, you've traditionally had those so that everybody has an annual, you know, year end, and then semi-annual would be the 2 in person, or the quarterly.
No.
It's set up on, so everybody's having a quarterly conversation at the end of the first quarter, or do you have to spread them out just for,
yeah,
in order to get the
logistically
report, you know?
Logistically, we found that you can't.
I lost him.
I did too.
Yeah, he froze up.
Okay. I stumped him.
So going forward, should we probably amend these so that they're probably not half an hour? I mean, we typically go about 45 minutes to an hour on these, which is fine. But
he's back.
Here I are.
Well,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll end on this one. Okay. So the answer is we do the because of time, we evenly disperse the clients, and your 12-4-2 is driven by other things than the calendar. It's driven by the when you drop the client into the scheduler. So it really doesn't matter. When you're doing 12-4-2, you're always going to be prepared to talk about performance, but it's never going to be as dramatic as it was before. So it may be, oh, by the way, you're up this much or you're down this much, or, you know, it isn't going to be an in-depth rationalization of why we picked all these managers and why we're doing this, unless the client has questions. Okay? So it's not, to me, it's not as important as the financial plan and implementing the financial plan and making sure the client is doing well. We don't need to teach the client the an investment process. We need to make sure the client knows that the plan is working and the investment process is doing its part. Just like the liability side of the balance sheet is doing its part. Like the risk management side of the balance sheet is doing its part. So all these parts are working together, and the investment part is just one of the parts. We're not investment managers. We're consultants to the client on their life. And so we're working on their life to make sure they achieve all their goals rather than justifying why we hired this money manager. So I think it helps and minimizes the time we spend on that piece, which what used to be everything. And now it's just a part of what we do. Okay. Makes sense? It makes it easier for you. It makes it easier for them. It makes it easier for you. We're not going to live and die by the calendar, right? What if the market goes down in November as it did? Remember the market went down in December and crashed and everything, all the performance went to heck. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to get fired at the end of the year. No, we don't get paid like that. We get paid according to how people do over a 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 year period. Not every year we're not portfolio managers that have to get paid based on our performance of ending in December. So don't treat it that way. Just treat it as a process of building their wealth over time to solve their issues and give them more opportunities to do things that they may not have been able to do. So good questions. All right, we're out of time as usual. Thanks. Any final questions?
Okay. No, but another good session. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
See you, Thanks, Rob. Bye. All right, bye-bye.